November. And we thought we would be appropriate to sort of give a brief report of that to you so that you can get to know your Indian brethren better. You know, it was with the Heavenly Father's providential overruling and His strength that it was a privilege for us to go to India in November. After September 11th, we really weren't sure what the Lord's will would be for the trip. However, with prayer and with His guidance, there didn't seem to be any roadblocks, and so we concluded it was His will to continue, and indeed we didn't have any problems, and the trip was a great blessing. As you can see, the area of India that we visited is very far in the south. It's far away from Pakistan and Afghanistan and the troubled area of Kashmir, and so we really didn't have any difficulties. However, we would request that you would keep the Indian brethren in your prayers for the current issue that's going on, the current confrontation between India and Pakistan. While these things aren't affecting the brethren directly now, we don't know how that's going to change if that conflict really erupts into a full-scale war. So please remember them, particularly maybe the young people, because, you know, conscription and armies and those sorts of things. So. In Frankfurt, Germany, we met up with Michael and Ginger Brand, and we flew on to Chennai, the beginning of our trip in India. And from there, as you can see from the stars, we visited 12 ecclesias. And we would see some of the brethren virtually everywhere we went because they would travel on buses and trains to be with us at our next location. And our hearts really were touched by their love and their zeal in wanting to be with us. Much of our luggage contained supplies that we carried to be left with the brethren in India, books, tracts, those sorts of things. Michael and Ginger Brand brought a laptop computer that was donated by the brethren in Germany. And the Indian government typically charges huge fees for importing those kind of gifts into the country. But just as the moment as the custom lady was to look at Michael's form, and he had written down that he was bringing in a computer, she was distracted, and she just waved him on through. And that was just one of the little overrulings of the Lord. As we left Chennai Airport, about 1 o'clock in the morning, Brother Michael recognized Brother Kumar, Udaya Kumar, and his wife, Sister Thelma. They were waiting for us amongst the crowds, and we were so happy to see him. Brother Kumar is a railroad engineer. He's an elder in one of the colleges in Chennai, and he did most of the organizing of the public meetings that were about to take place over the next 2 days. He's very easy to talk with. He understands our English, and we understand his. Sister Thelma is his wife. She's a college professor. She teaches computers, and they have 2 little girls, Karen and Sharon. And she also speaks very good English. And they went with us to the hotel, staying up to 2:30 in the morning, just to make sure that there were no problems and we were checked in. The next morning, Brother Kumar came and led us by taxi to the college where his wife teaches. It's St. Christopher's Teachers College, and this is where they teach teaching methodology to women who've already gotten a 4-year degree. Teaches them methodology on how to teach that to other people. Michael was asked to give a public talk on restitution to the students that were gathered there. Michael's discourse was a wonderful witness of hope of the kingdom. You know, we didn't get to talk to any of the students afterwards, but we hope it was a blessing to them. And actually, they sang an impromptu song of thanks at the end of the service, which Sister Thelma says they don't normally do. So perhaps they did enjoy the presentation. Afterwards, Sister Thelma took us on a tour of the college, which was very interesting. At 5:30 that evening, Brother Kumar and his daughter Sharon came to take us to the public meeting hall for the first of 2 public meetings. We were very excited to begin to meet our brethren again, some of whom we hadn't seen in 2 or more years. There were brethren there from ecclesias near and far. Brother Alexander Barnabas, he traveled with us before, and he has a very special place in our hearts. He was waiting for us. He had ridden on a bus 10 hours to be there for the public meetings. Brother Francis Paul had traveled similarly about 10 hours to be with us there. He comes from Metapoli. Sister Thelma had made badges for all the brethren to wear, the little yellow thing you can see there, identifying us as Bible student ambassadors, so the public could talk and ask questions of any of the brethren, if they had any. This is Brother Prem from Udi, which is over 12 hours away. he came to draw a large banner of Nebuchadnezzar's image for Michael's public discourse on Daniel. It took him 3 hours to draw the banner. He's a graphic artist by profession. At the right is a picture of the banner of Nebuchadnezzar's image that he painted. And in the background, Brother Christodoulos is singing prior to the public meeting. The brethren had 3,000 of these posters advertising the public meeting, and they were placed throughout the city of Chennai. And in case you can't recognize the language, that's Tamil. They had 5,000 of these handbills also printed and passed out through the city. They had Tamil on one side and English on the other, advertising the public meeting, and they too were distributed throughout the city. The brethren in Chennai were very optimistic, and they had rented a hall for 1,000 people. During the discourse, one of the children went around and passed out these forms to everyone, asking for their names, their address, and also their comments on the meeting. There were about 70 public on the first evening, and they received 7 names from those who attended, along with several positive comments about how much they enjoyed the presentation and helped explain Daniel to them. 2 years ago, when we were in Bangalore, Sister Martha, shown here, and her twin sister Maria, had just come out of the Catholic Church and into the truth through the work of Brother Varma. She has since married Brother Aaron from Chennai in June, and they were now residing in Chennai. And they wanted us to come to our home after the public meeting, and since it was close by, we walked there. There are 5 people in this family who live in this little home, and they were very happy, and they were anxious to show us their wedding pictures. Brother Varma had performed the service for them, their marriage service. They served us tea and cookies, and we had a prayer with them while we were at their home. So they were very happy couple. The next day, Sunday, the brethren had a convention at the meeting hall for those visiting brethren from the other ecclesias in India. And then after lunch, there was a question meeting. And they asked the brethren from America their opinions on the following questions. 1, why is Abraham on plane N of the chart of the ages? 2, how many resurrections are there? 3, what will be the condition of those raised in the kingdom, meaning the physical condition that come forth from the tomb? How is the resurrection of the ancient worthies better than the resurrection of the world? And has the reign begun? The question meeting was scheduled to last 30 minutes. It went on for over 2 hours, and then there was a side discussion that went on another 45 minutes. That evening was the second of the 2 public meetings. Again, there were about 60 or 70 public who attended, and names were taken again. And afterwards, we heard that there were several small groups from local Pentecostal churches that attended. And the brethren had a chance to talk to them after the public meeting, and we heard that perhaps some of them were not that happy with what they had heard that evening. Monday during the day, we had many visitors come to our hotel room for fellowship and for discussion, both from the local classes in Chennai and also from other classes, for example, Coimbatore. The brothers met together concerning the harvest work and harvest activities, and the sisters fellowshiped with the fellow sisters. And it was a blessed and it was a busy day. Brother Ken talked about the volumes. Here's a copy of the second volume in Tamil, which the brethren in India have finished translating and have begun printing. It's taken several years for them to translate. It's very difficult for them to translate from the English of Brother Russell into the local languages. And one of the brothers we talked to, it took him 2 years to translate Tabernacle Shadows. At 4 p.m., and this is on Monday, Brother Selvaraj came to lead us to his home for a meeting that would be that evening. And we rode through the Chennai rush hour. This turned out to be monsoon season, so we went through some puddles of water. We passed by the Bay of Bengal. We couldn't see much of the water, though, because of all the little fishermen shanties that were sort of lined up on the beach. This is our second time in the Selvaraj home, and we love it here. They are rejoicing Christians, as you can tell by their smiles. And they make you feel at home as soon as you walk in. This is Brother Chelia. He's fairly new. He's corresponded for a number of years with Sister Lynn Gamble in California. And she finally put him in touch with Brother Selvratz the past year, and he's been coming out to the meetings ever since. And he's very thankful for the miracle, really, of receiving the truth. He was an excellent translator for the discourses that evening, and he's interested in helping out with the remaining work of translating the remaining volumes into Tamil. After the meeting, the brethren fed us a lovely dinner of fried bread, which we call French toast, chicken 65, which has to do with the spices you put on it, and fried rice. They let us come in the kitchen and watch them cook, and Sister Esther showed us all of the spices they used to create that unique Indian cuisine taste. Brother Selvaraj is the elder of this small ecclesia, and several times over the past year, the Indian Committee has offered him humanitarian aid for his ecclesia, but he's always turned it down, and he did again this year. And we really appreciate his spirit, which really seems to be reflected in their ecclesia. The next morning, which was Tuesday, we flew to Coimbatore. Coimbatore is a smaller city, and therefore it's not quite as polluted or populated as Chennai. Now, normally the trip would have been a 10-hour train ride, but we were glad we chose the one-hour flight instead. Brother David and Brother Newland were at the airport waiting for us. Newland is one of the young people that we've watched grow spiritually in the last 5 years during our 3 trips to India. 23 years old. He's very active in the Lord's service. He gives discourses, he translates, and he works with the Coimbatore Youth Program. In Coimbatore, we stayed at the Surya Hotel, which we know very well. It's sort of our home away from home in Coimbatore. It's moderately priced. Actually, it's pretty inexpensive by American standards. It's clean, and we love being there. And while we were just settling into rooms, the young people, Alex and Newland and also Brother David, showed up and welcomed us and began to go over our schedule for the few days we would spend in Coimbatore. This hotel is on a road called Racecourse Road, which actually goes around in a circle. It has nice walkways around it for walking and for exercising. As you notice, the bus is driving on the wrong side of the road. Brother Alexander Byramis, another one of the young people from Coimbatore, worked about a third of the way around the circle of the hotel. And so as we took a walk around the circle, he met us by his workplace. He invited us to his workplace to meet his boss. He's a hard worker, and so his boss is very nice to him. And lets him take off time, whatever he asks for, to go to conventions, to come see us, to go along with visitors like us. Now, of course, in India, all of this time off is unpaid. So that's one of the many sacrifices the Indian brethren make when we come to visit them. Here's Michael talking to Alex's boss and suggesting that he needs some new furniture for the lobby of their workplace. Of course, Michael sells office furniture, and he goes to India quite often, so thinking of opening a branch office. Tuesday evening, we met with the brethren at Coimbatore, and it was so nice to be there again. Again, it's beginning to feel a lot like home. Sister Priya, she's Newland's sister, and she's made a consecration, and she plans to be immersed next month. And they call their mother's mom. The next morning, Alex Newland and Stephen all came to visit. Newland brought programs of their recently completed 3-day youth convention, which had just taken place a couple months before in September. And they went over the program with us in great detail. They had done a lot of work really organizing the program, and about 100 youth had the opportunity of attending it, or they call them youths. And it was a great blessing to both to see their work
and the results of their labors of love for their fellow young people.
Both they and the local elders were really pleased with the outcome, and they're planning to have another youth seminar on January the 12th through the 14th, 2002. So, and if you are free that weekend, they cordially invite you to go. 1 p.m. that same day, we went to Peter's house. Now, Peter's another one of the young people in Coimbatore, but he was at work, so he wasn't there when we visited. But we had a wonderful time there. Peter's mother, Sister Lila, Newland's mother, and a third sister were there busily preparing our lunch. In India, at each home, and at most of the meeting halls, you check your shoes at the door. Priya Newland's sister has just graduated from college, has her degrees in teaching, and she's now looking for a job. She was practicing by trying to teach me how to make a type of Indian bread called chapati. Ginger and Janice went back to the hotel during the afternoon while we were supposed to have an elders meeting. However, because of the monsoon rain, the elders meeting was postponed till that evening, and the girls felt bad that they didn't spend the afternoon in fellowship with the brethren there at Peter's home. These were shots taken on the way back to the hotel. On the way back to the hotel, the girls passed this Hindu funeral procession. The body was in a cart covered with flowers. And as they passed by, they could only see a little bit of the face and the hair. There were about 30 people walking behind the cart, throwing flowers at the cart, flower petals at the cart every few steps. And the cart was decorated with banana trees and flowers. About 5 p.m. that evening, the brethren began arriving in the rain for the evening meeting. Our dear brother I.A. Joseph was from this ecclesia. He passed away just a few months after our last visit in 1999. Sister Joseph came to a meeting that evening, and when she saw Michael, she broke down in tears. She misses her husband a lot, and even the young people really miss Brother Joseph. He was such a major part of the ecclesia. His work with the young people, his translating of articles into their monthly magazine, his continual pilgrim work was a big part of their ecclesia. His sacrifice was really truly consumed on the altar. And we missed him too, because he had traveled with us in both of our previous trips to India. And the memories we have of Brother Joseph are very, very precious. Sister Esther oversees and teaches the children in the Coimbatore Ecclesia ages 14 and under, and there are 30 of them right now. She's very energetic, and her love for the truth and the children really sort of bubble out of her. The elders write a multi-page children lesson, which they publish in their monthly magazine, which is sort of the equivalent of our Dawn. And she uses these lessons to teach the kids and really expands on them. Right now the children are finishing the studying of the tabernacle, and they're starting into the life of Daniel. And each year at the General Convention, the children are given a written test covering all of the lessons from the magazine for the previous year. They're graded as to how well they do, and from what we hear, they do really well. So how would you like to have a test on all of the things that you studied this year? Brother Michael spoke that evening on the Hallel Songs. After the meeting, we had our elders' meeting. After the elders' meeting, we traveled to Brother Daniel's home for dinner. Brother Daniel is getting older, and it was nice to have some special time with him. He showed us photo albums with pictures of many of the brethren who have come there in the past, such as Brother and Sister Faye and Brother Krupa, Brother and Sister Pollock,
Brother Carl Hagensick, Sister Alice Schneider, and others. They're part of his precious memories of Brethren in the Truth. Brother Daniel was a railroad engineer when he was working, and when he would stop over in a city, then he would preach the gospel. For example, when he took the train from Coimbatore to Kannur, he would stay overnight in Kannur, and there he would witness. At first, there were no brethren in the town of Kannur, but years later, due to his witnessing efforts, there was a congregation of 40, and the congregation is still there and thriving today. Shortly after breakfast the next morning, Jerome came, and he took the four of us to his family's home. He's the youngest son of brother and sister Joseph, and he's the only one of their seven children who has made a consecration. We've seen him also grow spiritually during the last 5 years, from a very shy teenager into a very lovely brother in Christ. He's very quiet, but he has a very tender heart. He was very energetic. He also was a very brilliant man. He understood five languages. I'm sorry? Yes. He also studied to be a Catholic priest at one point. We went from Brother Joseph's home back to the hotel, and waiting for us in the reception hall were Brother David, Newland, Alex, and Stephen. Alex led us on a motorbike to his home, where his family was waiting for us for a visit. Alex came to the truth about 10 years ago. He's now 26, and his family was Catholic. And he's gradually witnessed to the rest of his family, and in the last several years, his parents and his sister Giantha have all been immersed. While we were there, a neighbor came over to visit. She was Catholic, and she asked us questions about September the 11th. We tried to witness her, but she really didn't seem to be too interested. We couldn't stay there long because we were going out to visit the site of the youth seminar. They served us a wonderful lunch, and we enjoyed some fellowship and a prayer together. We didn't have to say goodbye officially yet, as we would see them the upcoming Sunday at the Metapolitan Convention. Newland, Stephen, and Brother David led our taxi to the youth seminar site. It's a lovely place about 10 miles outside the town of Coimbatore. It's very quiet, very peaceful. It's really a lovely lovely atmosphere to think about spiritual things there. The beautiful gardens scattered all around the buildings where one could sit and relax. Behind the two halls, there's a beautiful amphitheater for use for Vesper services. There are two main large halls, one they used for meetings, the other they used for eating. And then there were several side rooms which they used for sleeping, girls in one and boys in the other. Because the buildings are solid cement, including the ceiling, which you see there, and the height of the ceiling, it was amazingly cool inside the building, although it was quite warm outside. That's the roof of one of the main halls. And Newland is showing what the kids did on their break when they had spare time. However, their program really didn't give them much spare time. They were in meetings from 9:30 in the morning until 11 p.m. at night, with only short breaks for mealtime and tea. So they made the kids really work hard. The charge for this facility is just $40 a day. They had a caterer bring the food in, which added a little bit to the cost, but by our terms, it is very inexpensive. And they will be using this facility for the January 2002 youth seminar. Arriving back at our hotel, we had about 30 minutes to catch our breath before we went off to the town of Erode to meet with the little ecclesia there.
Our ride to a road is a little bit like Mr. Toad's wild ride at Disney. But with the Lord's help, we made it safe, even though we went through a pretty driving thunderstorm along the way. Reminded us of Florida. When we arrived at the town of Erode, Brother Bascaron was waiting for us on the side of the road on his motorbike. It's amazing how the brethren find us in crowds of cars and trucks and people. Newland jumped out of our taxi and grabbed a ride on the back of Brother Bascaron's bike. And he led us along the way to Brother Balaswamy's home, which was our first stop. Brother Balaswamy has been a faithful brother for many years. His wife died about a year ago, and he's been a little discouraged since then. And so Michael especially wanted to stop by and visit him personally. We had a prayer together in his home, and then we traveled together to the ecclesia meeting. Ecclesia meets in a warehouse where yarn is dyed to be woven into towels. Since most of those attending are newly interested, instead of giving two discourses, Michael gave a testimony about how he came into the truth, and then we gave a short discourse. After meeting, they served us a big meal in another room, and then we had a discussion on some questions that they had. We finally said our goodbyes and started for the two-hour ride back home to Coimbatore. Fortunately, our drivers seemed to have calmed down a little bit since our trip in the afternoon. The ride was a little calmer than the ride there. And we're thankful for that blessing from the Lord. The next morning we left to head to Kanur, which is up in the Nilgiri Hills, which you can see in the distance. It was a beautiful day. We had a very nice driver. He drove carefully. He stopped whenever we wanted to take pictures. He didn't speak English, as most of our drivers do not, but we got along just fine. Arrived at the Taj Garden Hotel about 12:30, Brother Prem and two newly interested brethren were there to greet us. This is the van of one of the newly interested brothers. It demonstrates a new way to witness. You see the chart everywhere over there. Brother Prem decided that we should eat before going on to the meeting at Udi. It was already 1 p.m. and the meeting at Udi was supposed to start at 1 p.m. We arrived at the ecclesia about 2:30 in the afternoon. It was our first time in Udi, and this is their new prayer hall. Brother Prem and his family used to meet with the Wellington Ecclesia, which is some distance away, but he really lives in Udi, and when some new interest developed there, they organized the ecclesia and began to have a meeting. So this is a new ecclesia, new since the last time we were there 2 years ago. Brother Prem was so happy that we could visit their ecclesia, and his face was beaming, and it was such a joy to see him and his wife, Sister Flora, and their two girls, Ruth and Rachel. There were about 20 brethren that gathered for the meeting that afternoon. Brother Prem wanted us to come to his home after the meeting. He wanted to show us the translation work that Sister Flora was doing on the computer, translating tracts and booklets into Tamil, but we couldn't go because we had to go on to a meeting at the Kanur Ecclesia that evening. The Kanur Ecclesia is also like being at home. They have regular volume studies with Brother Abraham, one of their elders, translating the volumes into Tamil as they study. We had some wonderful fellowship and discussions with both Brother Abraham and Brother Jay Raj after the meetings, and they're very dedicated to building up their little collegiate.
Brother Abraham was invited to speak at the International Convention a couple of years ago, and
he couldn't go because his boss threatened to fire him if he went. While taking pictures, Michael tried to get the children to smile at the camera, and so, because they wouldn't smile, he began to make faces at them. Well, they thought that was great fun, and they started making faces back, and things went downhill after that. The prayer hall is over the home of Brother and Sister Sagar. Brother Sagar's mother and dad used to cook for English people there, so every time we would visit, they would cook us a wonderful American meal. Well, she wasn't there, but Brother Sagar's wife has learned well, so she cooked us a meal of baked chicken, mashed potatoes, carrots, and spring greens, just like you would have back in America. Now, we didn't eat all the chicken. We ate everything but one piece. But there wasn't a speck of mashed potatoes left. It was really a labor of love that we greatly appreciated. Saturday morning, we were to go to the Wellington Ecclesia, but at breakfast, Michael wasn't feeling well. And Michael and Ginger decided that they should go to the hospital to have his blood pressure checked. They went to the hospital. He was okay. They returned, and he stayed back and rested at a hotel until he was feeling better. Janice and I went on to the meeting at Wellington. Brother Kumar is the youngest son of Brother and Sister George. And we've always appreciated meeting with that ecclesia. They also have volume studies. We also appreciated their singing. The past two times we've come there, they've actually composed songs especially for our visit. Benjamin, Samuel, and Kumar had ridden all night on a bus from Bangalore, which is where they live. They were a little late getting to the meeting because the bus had broken down, and it took several hours before they got it fixed and running again. Benjamin has spent several weeks in the Milwaukee area this past year in business. He works for General Electric, and he's another one of the young people who we have seen grow spiritually in the last 5 years. To get to the Wellington Meeting Hall, which you can see up there to the left, you have to cross a railroad track and you've got to climb a path up on a hill. As we were passing the building on the left, we heard some loud singing and chanting, and the brethren told us it was a Pentecostal meeting where they do healing and speaking in tongues. After the meeting, we went to see how Michael and Ginger were doing. He was feeling better, but we decided that we would go down and stay in Metapolitan that evening rather than staying up in the hills. And so they went ahead and made arrangements for making that move. Janice and I went on to the George's home where they had lunch waiting. Brother George's oldest son is Brother Joshua. He's been working in Saudi Arabia for over a year. In fact, he's not even seen his first daughter. And he won't be home until April. That's the first time he comes back. Brother George and his sons have a business which provides conveyor belts to the tea industry. And because the tea industry is in decline, Joshua's had to support the family by going and working in Saudi Arabia. After lunch, the Georges wanted to come and see Michael and Ginger at the hotel, so they did that. And we fellowshipped in the lobby until it was time to head back down the mountain to Metapolitan. Again, it was difficult to say goodbye. That was not our taxi. When we got to the hotel at Metapolitan, where Michael and Ginger made reservations, we discovered it was the same hotel where there's going to be the elders' meeting and also the convention the next day. Another one of the wonderful overrulings of the Lord during our trip. Later that night, Brother Kumar called us and asked us if we wanted to go to an immersion service at 6:30 the next morning by the river. There were three to be immersed. We said we would love to go, and this is the path down to the river.
Brother Kumar is asking me here if I would like to give the baptismal discourse. No, he didn't tell me until I was on the side of the river, so I said. Sister Cassino on the left is one of the sisters who is a nurse. Back at the hotel, the young people were preparing the meeting hall, and we went back for a quick breakfast before the convention started. Eventually, the room was packed and overflowing. About 150 brethren attended the convention. Brother Prem from Udi gave the welcome address and presented us with flowers. Michael spoke first, and then Brother Kairupa gave a summary in Tamil. We spoke, and Brother Kairupa also gave a summary in Tamil. It had been 2.5 hours, and then they took their intermission for tea. After tea, they introduced the three brethren who had been immersed. Then Brother Daniel gave a talk or discourse on the parable of the sheep and the goats. Then, without a break, Brother Maridas from Mysore gave discourse on the flying roll. Sister Janice was sitting next to Jayanthi. Jayanthi was kind enough to write her notes in English so Janice could understand what the discourses were saying. But Michael and I were left on our own to translate Tamil. Then at 2:30 was the lunch break. After lunch, we left the convention and started for the two-hour ride back to Coimbatore, where we would then catch an all-night train to Mangalore. We said goodbye to the young people, because we thought that would be the last time that we'd see them, but they told us no, that they would see us at the train station. At the train station, we were met by Peter and Gideon and Alex and Newland, Brother Ebby, who's Newland's dad, and Brother David, who's Gideon's father. It's a real blessing because they helped us get to the right platform, the right train, and the right seats on the right car. They got off and on the train at least three times just to make sure that we were all situated correctly. And the last time they got off the train, they didn't get off until the train started to roll out of the station. And their goodbye really touched our hearts. Junior Michael had the upper berths, Janice and I had the lower berths, and it was a really nice way to travel. It was very relaxing. None of us had ever been to Mangalore or had meeting the brethren at Mangalore. Young Brother Christopher would be our contact, but he and Sister Esther and Brother Preetish came by on Monday evening to meet us and to go over the next day's schedule. They had planned all-day meetings for the next day. This is Mangalore. This is on the west coast of India. Brother Alexander has been an elder there for many years. About six months ago, he had a slight stroke. His mind is good, but he can't talk very well. Now Brother Christopher has taken over really as elder of the ecclesia. There were about 40 brethren who gathered there in the two rooms of the home for the convention. Brother Christopher translated for both of our discourses. There was a tea break between them and then a lunch break. Bindu on the right, who is a Hindu, recently came into the truth.
Brother Prigish told us that because she had become a Bible student, no Hindu would marry her. So he volunteered to marry her, and they planned to be married in a couple of years. They're a lovely couple. See the message in the sand? After lunch, there was a question meeting with Brother Christopher translating. Some of the questions had to do with, according to Brother Russell, Christ has taken over the earth since 1874. Does this mean that we're in the millennium? If the time of trouble commenced in 1914, is the sealing process of Revelation still going on? Please explain Revelation 12, verses 1 through 6, and other questions. After the question meeting, Sister Reshmi gave thanks to all the brethren for the great day of spiritual blessings that we had all enjoyed. Wednesday morning, Prithish and Brother Christopher came to see us off and spent a few last minutes in fellowship. We're very thankful that we had the opportunity to go to Mangalore. It was a great encouragement to us, and we hope it was a blessing to them. We hadn't made plans on how we were going to get from Mangalore to Bangalore ahead of time, but since Wednesday was Jendru's birthday, Michael's birthday present to her was a plane ride from Mangalore to Bangalore, and he let us, the rest of us, go along with him. In Bangalore, we were blessed to actually stay with the brethren, Brother and Sister Prasad and their son Samuel. After a while, Brother Varmer came and brought Ginger Michael with us to dinner and then a meeting at the Prasad home. Mid-30s? 32, 33. Early to mid-30s. The ecclesia where the Prasads attend usually have a study in their home on Wednesday evenings. Currently they're studying the book, The Most Holy Faith. But tonight they wanted the American brethren to give discourses. And this was the first ecclesia that we visited during our entire trip where we did not need to be translated. Brother Jaffa on the left is a pilgrim brother for many years in India, traveling primarily by bicycle around the south, preaching the gospel. Many of the brethren that we've met in India during our three trips really trace their receiving the truth to his witnessing activities. He's now in his 80s, and physically he's becoming somewhat frail, but he's still rejoicing in the truth. His daughter, who's sitting next to him, brought him to the meeting, and she was recently made her consecration. After the meeting, there was tea and cookies and fellowship. We drink a lot of tea in India. No, I think he's making a point. On Thursday, we had all-day meetings at Brother Varma's ecclesia. His family's owned this three-story building in Bangalore, which he has inherited. The bottom floor is a bank, and converted. The top floor, the third floor, has been converted into a meeting room. Notice under the Bangalore Bible Students what it says. Your search for truth ends here. There were about 100 brethren that were able to attend the convention. They had a Bethel service, something that Brother Varma picked up during his recent trip to America, and then Michael spoke. After Michael's discourse, it was tea time. So that took place on the roof. After two discourses, there was to be an immersion service on the roof in a small pool they built specially for that, and these were the three brethren that were going to be immersed in. You see the little immersion pool. We were asked to do the immersion. After that, it was time for lunch also on the roof. Oh, lunch was over. This was the post-lunch discussion. Brother Williams is one of the young elders who assists Brother Varma in this ecclesia. He's a very quiet, humble brother in his 30s. His wife is Catholic, and he has a small daughter. And he's been suffering from kidney problems for several years, and he's on dialysis really every other day. He's been scheduled for a kidney transplant in the past, but it didn't work out, and he's scheduled to have a transplant again in February of 2002. But he's really leaving it in the Lord's will. And we asked him if there's anything we could do for him, and basically all he said was no, just pray for him that he would be faithful. After lunch, they had a testimony meeting. Many of the brethren who had recently come into the truth, particularly through the work of Brother Varma, were asked to testify to their experiences, and then Brother Varma asked Ginger and Janice also to testify. See in the back, there's a map of America. We were showing the brethren there where we had come from. After the testimony meeting, the congregation said, saying, "Blessed be the tie that binds," as a farewell to us. It was much appreciated, and we had to say goodbye to some of them and head to Brother and Sister Suresh's home for another meeting that evening. Since we've been there 2 years ago, Brother and Sister Suresh built this prayer hall on top of their home. It's a lovely place, and there are about 30 brethren gathered there. They didn't want any discourses that evening, but rather they asked each of us to give a testimony. We did. Brother Japrasad is a very special brother. He gave us the scripture, 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 9 and 10, to give to all the brethren back in America as we traveled home. After the meeting, the Sureshas served us a lovely dinner. Both of their children, Jonathan and Monica, have made consecration since we were there 2 years ago. And we're sorry we just didn't have more time that we could spend with their family in that ecclesia. Friday morning, Brother Cassino, on the right, wanted to come and discuss some scriptures. He's done a lot of study. He's fairly new in the truth. He's written several booklets. And he brought along another, a newly interested person that he's been witnessing to by the name of Raju. Actually, Raju came to Kasuna's house to fix his cable TV, so he's a cable guy. Christina witnessed to him, and now he's coming to the meetings. Another way you can witness in India. After a while, Brother Partha came to pick us up, took us to their family's home for lunch and fellowship. Now it's time to gather our belongings and head to the airport to begin our homeward journey. While we waited outside the airport, more and more brethren began arriving. About 20 brethren came to see us off, and our hearts were overflowing with their love and their wishes and their hugs. We went through security. Ginger wanted to take a picture of them all standing there waving goodbye to us, but the security guard said, for security reasons, no. But that picture of them there is etched in our heart and is one of the treasures that we hold dear. We received abundant blessings from this trip, and we pray that we were a blessing to them. And we pray mostly that these experiences have brought glory and praise to our Heavenly Father and been pleasing to them. And you know, wherever we find God's children on this earth, whether they're India or they're Africa or Europe or in this country, they're really all the same. Our outward appearance might be a little different. Our speech might be a little different. Our cultures may make us act differently at times, but when God looks at the heart, He looks at the same thing. He's called us in the same hope of our calling. And in our hearts, we're all striving to be the best possible children of His that we can. And may each of us, as we look at one another, whether it's in this country or another country, whether it's in our home ecclesia or a different ecclesia, look on one another the way the Heavenly Father looks on us. And that is in the beauty of one's heart. May the Lord add his blessing.
We thank you very much. And a few of the brethren here have been there. But for the ones that haven't been there, I think that you're making your plans to go right now. And we'll have hymn 66 for our closing, and we'll just sing the first verse.
Loving and Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy most holy and precious name. Dear Father, again we come before thee to express to thee our love and our thanksgiving for thy bountiful blessings to us. The gift of Jesus, through whom we can come unto thee and call thee our Father. For the gift of the truth that fills our hearts and minds with hope and comfort and has drawn us close to thee. And for the privileges and blessings we have of knowing one another and knowing our brethren in distant lands. May their example and their faithfulness and their zeal be lessons to us, dear Father. And may we together build one another up in this most holy faith. May we recognize that we are indeed one body in Christ. May we together be a help and encouragement one to another, striving for the one faith of the gospel. Forgive us for anything amiss in our lives, dear Father, for we are weak and we fall short of serving you acceptably. Pray the grace and strength to be with all thy children the world over, wherever they are, whatever their needs. Comfort their hearts, strengthen their faith, and keep them in the way. For we ask this all in Jesus' most precious name.